Did you ask, am I under investigation?
I actually asked him, yes. I said, if it's possible, would you let me know, am I under investigation? He said, you are not under investigation.
Would it be possible, please? Would it be possible?
All right, Michael Steele is joining us, former head of the Republican National Committee. Michael Steele also went to law school, as I seem to recall. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Now, remember, Mr. Steele, you are under oath at this point forward in this interview.
Okay.
All right, so I ask you this, Chairman, is it proper for a meeting to be held between a president of the United States and somebody potentially investigating a president of the United States, and at that meeting for the FBI director to ask for his job and for the president then to ask, hey, am I under investigation? Would you think that's proper?
No, just as it wasn't proper for the attorney general to meet with Mr. Clinton.
Correct.
That is correct.
Yes.
And so there is no distinction between the two. When there are criminal investigations or those types of FBI investigations that require a high degree of ethics, then you have to mind those ethics, and those ethics dictate you do not speak to a party under investigation, which is why what the president said, in my view, is four Pinocchios. I do not think Comey.
You don't believe that happened.
You don't think. Mm-hmm.
I do not believe it happened.
Yeah.
No, I believe what the president is relying on is what he later referred to in his interview. If you notice, he switched up and said, well, you know, other people were telling me about that, and they kind of put it in front of me. And so that then became the talking point. I do not think Comey, given all the other crap and grief that he's been through about his ethics decisions regarding emails, would then jeopardize an ongoing investigation into the president's campaign by talking to the president about it.
Okay, Michael Steele, I'm going to ask you this question. If he's making that up, if he's doing that because he figures, well, this is a reasonable story, and my sense is the president does tend to go on a little bit of a narrative flourish, and he tells stories. It might be compilation stories. They might sound
right.
Truthy things. I mean, there's a lot of people in show business who do that, and of course the president came from that. So that's that. I kind of got a sense of that. I agree with you that he's making that up. Isn't that the dumbest thing to admit to?
That you're making it up?
No.
That you're
saying that you met with a guy who's begging for his job, and you said, please tell me, am I under investigation? Right? I mean, it sounds
sounds ethically wrong.
It's dumb.
And how do you know it's dumb? Well, because the president in his letter to Comey refers to it. And why does he refer to it? Because it justifies for him a couple of things. One, the action he's taking. But two, he's trying to exonerate himself before there's any adjudication of the matter or full investigation of the matter. So he's saying, well, you told me that I'm scot-free and clean, so therefore I'm scot-free and clean. And so the expectation is, well, what does Comey say about that? And that's really now going to be the pressure point of Comey if he goes before the Senate committee next week will be, did you say this to the president? And this idea that, oh, well, I can't speak to what I said in confidence, BS, because the president has now exposed the confidentiality of that conversation by telling us, this is what you said. So now you confirm for us, did you or did you not tell the president three times that he was not under investigation when you knew daggone well that your whole department was doing, an investigation.
Yeah.
Well, you know he'll be asked.
It'll be fun.
You just wonder. Yeah, right. It'll be fun to watch. Do you think Comey will even walk into that, though? I mean, he knows what to expect there. He doesn't have to go, is our understanding. Will he show up?
No, he's a private citizen now. Unless he's subpoenaed, he doesn't have to go. No,
right.
He doesn't have to go.
Right.
If I'm his lawyer, I tell him not to go. But here's the problem for the president. At some point, Comey, with all of his dignity, tattered the way it has been, will try to reestablish that dignity. Mm-hmm. And they just say, you know what? Let me just tell y'all what happened.
Oh, sure.
And just kind of lay out, you know, to the fullest extent that he could without getting into classified information and all of that stuff, exactly what he knows and why he knows it. And almost in the same time, explain more completely why the email situation played out the way it played. Because I can't help but think that some of this was bubbling beneath the surface of some of that. And so there's this delicate dance that he's put himself in. Now, as a private citizen, he may be freer to talk about it.
Okay.
It's interesting, Michael, because, you know, no matter what you think about the Comey firing, whether you think it's right or wrong, it feels there is an epic fail on the part of this administration when it comes to the messaging of why. The why question, was it that he lost respect to the rank and file? He could no longer, you know, provide for the duties of the office. He was handling of the Clinton emails. He's a showboater. That came out today. It doesn't seem to all add up, and there isn't one voice coming out of this White House to explain why, which is a big question when you make a major move like this.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And not only – there is only one voice, and it's the president. And his voice contradicts every other voice. And that's their problem.
Right.
And the staff sits down, and they say, okay, this is where we're going to go. You get Sarah Huckabee out there doing her best tap dance possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the president then comes back and goes, oh, it was my idea all along. So when she's asked today about that, she said, well, you know, I didn't know that. You know, I hadn't had that conversation with the president. Well, I'm sorry. Can I call BS on that, too? Because you're not going to send your spokesperson out there to not be able to answer the most obvious question unless that never happened. And the president just, in the spur of the moment, decided to, lest the whole interview go, oh, well, yeah, it was my idea all along. Yeah, I wanted to fire him since I was 7 years old. You know, it's crazy.
Hey, I want to ask you, you know, you were so good at keeping me calm for this last almost 2 years now, and it's not working now, pal. Let me.
I'm losing my patience too, buddy. So
good. I hope a lot of Republicans are. You know, I mean, I think that this is a moment. This is the rubber hitting the road. Hey, and let me ask you. You know, I'm old enough to remember when the Russians were our enemy, and I would like to know the answer to this question.
And they still are.
How is it that the President of the United States is in the Oval Office grinning more than he's ever grinned in his life while shaking the hand of the spy master of the Russian government in the United States, Ambassador Kislyak, who jammed up at least two of his cabinet picks, right, as a national security advisor and his attorney general, and God knows who else, and he's smiling, and he gets his picture taken by a Russian press person in the Oval Office when no American press people were invited into the office, and people were screaming about Barack Obama and Bill Ayers and you know what's that guy that wrote those books that everybody was so upset about, and it's like, what are, oh my god,
it was a very chummy picture.
There's a very simple answer for that. It's very simple and very straightforward and direct. That's what you do for your handlers. That's what you do for your handler.
I see what you just did there. Right. Oh, from Homeland, right? The guy. Oh, she's I'm handling the President of the United States now. Oh my god! Oh my god! All right,
you take care of your handlers.
I'm telling you.
Look,
how crazy is that?
Explain it.
You can't.
I can't explain it. You kick out the American press, and you leave the Russian press in there. Who knows what the hell was inside that camera? Because they, from what I understand, they didn't go through all the, I mean, they were just let into the White House.
Well, I think they do have to go through that. Maybe they did. Maybe with them, because they're diplomats, they didn't have to go through all the rigmarole. But I don't know.
They didn't go through all the rigmarole. But I just, you know, did you kick out the American, you kick out the American press. Typically, those types of things have a press pool.
Right.
And you have the one photographer that's going to take pictures and everybody.
Right.
You know, but that person wasn't there. So, and of course, within like 15, 20 minutes after the encounter, you know, the Russians had it up all
everywhere.
Over.
Everywhere. Exactly. It was everywhere.
And they totally stunned the White House with it.
Yes.
Right? And they're like, what?
And they knew they got had something too. Right. I mean, the play it got.
All right, we gotta leave it there. But I just want to say, I just need. Can you send me Joe and Mika's wedding registry because I want to send something nice.
Yeah, we'll send something over to them.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Don't.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you and goodbye. I'll bet you laugh like hell on Saturday night though. That's all I'm gonna say. All right, Michael Steele. Thank you very much.
Bye, Michael.
All right, guys.
Former head of the RNC and. Now a contributor to Morning Joe on the MSNBC and political contributor, chief political contributor at NBC News. All right. Okay. So was there a crime committed? Our own legal analysis will be coming your way in just a moment here. But first,